You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Life Between Death and Rebirth, also called Between Death and Rebirth, you know, in one particular translation. This is the last lecture in the cycle, Lecture 10. It has been our task to consider the life between death and rebirth from certain points of view. And in the course of this winter's lectures, we have tried to present many things relating to this life. We have also been able to add considerably to the more general indications in my books titled Theosophy and titled Occult Science or Esoteric Science. Today we shall study the question, how the information given in Theosophy regarding the life between death and rebirth is related to what has been said here in the course of this winter's lectures. In my book, Theosophy, you will read the description of the soul's passage through the soul world after it has passed the portal of death. Now, this soul world is divided into several regions: the regions of burning desire, mobile susceptibility, wishes, inclination and disinclination, then the higher regions of soul light, active soul force, and true soul life. This was described as the world of the soul, through which, after death, the soul has to go. Afterward, it passes further on through what is described as the spirit world. The several regions of this spirit world are also described by means of terms borrowed from earthly conditions: the continental region of the spirit world, then the oceanic region, etc. Now, in this winter's lectures, we have described how the soul, when it passes through the portal of death, lays aside the physical body, and then the etheric body also, and how it becomes larger and larger. We explained how the soul lives through regions, which, for certain reasons which we mentioned, may be described as the region of the moon, then that of Mercury, Venus, Sun, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, then that of the firmament proper. How the soul, or rather the true spiritual individuality of man, continually expands or grows larger and lives through these regions, which include greater and greater realms. How the soul then begins to draw together again, to become smaller and smaller, in order at length to unite with the germ which comes to it from the stream of heredity. Through this union of the human germ, which comes to the soul through heredity, with that which comes in from the great macrocosmic regions of the world, there arises that which the man is, who is subject to earthly conditions, that which he has to experience between birth and death. Now, in both my book Theosophy, and also in the lectures which have been held here, we have really given the same thing. In Theosophy, it is described more from within, by means of pictures which relate more to inward soul conditions. In the lectures given this winter, we described it with the aid of the names of the planets and the greater cosmic conditions. It will now be our task to bring these two descriptions into harmony. We have already said that in the first period, which the human soul undergoes after it has passed the portal of death, it has to look back in a certain way at what it can experience on the earth. The period in Kamaloka, as it is called, is a period in which life is still connected with earthly conditions. This period is, on the whole, a period in which the soul must feel itself called upon gradually to wean itself from the direct connection with its last earthly incarnation, which still exists within it. In the physical body, a person has soul experiences which depend more or less upon his bodily life. We have but to recall how large a part of the soul's experience depends entirely upon sense impressions. Think away everything that sense impressions bring into your soul, and try to realize what remains in your soul when you have taken away all that these have given you. You will then have an idea of how very little remains in the soul. And yet, on final consideration, you will be able to say, All that the senses give ceases when the soul passes through the portal of death. That which remains has not the vividness of a sense impression, which is quite natural, as they are but memories which have sprung from sense impressions. Therefore, when you reflect on how much in your soul has come from impressions of the senses, you will easily be able to form an idea to what extent the soul's life after death is the result of these impressions. If you remember certain sense impressions which you received yesterday, we only take this as illustrating the impressions which are still comparatively vivid, and think how pale these impressions have already become. When you try to recall the vivid impression of what then took place, you will realize how pale the memory has become of what the sense impressions have given you. Fundamentally, the whole of life in the sense world is present to the soul as specific earthly experience. When the sense organs are laid aside at death, the significance of sense impressions goes also. As man, however, remains attached to sense impressions, because he still retains the desire for them, he passes first through the, quote, region of burning desire, close quote, in his life after death. He would still for a long time like to have sense impressions, but cannot have them, as he no longer possesses sense organs. The life which consists in longing for sense impressions and being unable to have them is the life in the region of burning desire. This life really burns the soul. It is a part of the life peculiar to Kamaloka. The soul longs to have sense impressions to which it has accustomed itself here on earth, and because the sense organs have been laid aside, is unable to do so. A second region of Kamaloka life is that of mobile susceptibility, in quotes. If the soul, in living through this region, lives through it purely, it has already weaned itself from desire for sense impressions, but it still experiences desire for thoughts, for such thoughts as are gained in earthly life through the instrumentality of the brain. In the region of burning desire, the experiences of the soul gradually enable it to say, it is foolish and nonsensical to desire sense impressions in a world in which these organs no longer exist. The soul may have overcome this longing for sense impressions, but it still longs to be able to think as men think on earth. It is only weaned from earthly thinking in the region of mobile susceptibility. There man gradually finds that thoughts such as are formed on earth are really of importance only to the life between birth and death. When man has weaned himself from thoughts which are connected with the physical instrument of the brain, he still experiences a certain connection with the earth through what is contained in his wishes. Wishes are really more intimately bound up with the soul than is the world of thought. In each human being, wishes have a particular color. Whereas a person has different thoughts in youth, in middle age, and in old age, we can easily recognize that a certain form of wish passes through the whole of human earthly life. This form, this particular shade of wish, is only laid aside in the, quote, region of wishes, close quote. Lastly, in the, quote, region of inclination and disinclination, close quote, the longing to live with a physical earthly body, with the earthly body which one possessed in the last incarnation, is stripped off. All the time the soul is passing through the various regions of burning desire, mobile susceptibility, wishes, and inclination and disinclination, there is always a certain longing for the last earthly life. First, in the region of burning desire, the soul still longs to be able to see through eyes and hear through ears, although it no longer has eyes and ears. When at length it has weaned itself from longing to have these impressions through eyes, ears, etc., it still longs to be able to think by means of a brain such as it possessed on earth. Then, when at length it has weaned itself from this, it still longs to be able to wish with a heart like that it possessed on earth. Last of all, man ceases to long for sense impressions, for thoughts and for wishes. but he still hankers after his last earthly incarnation as a whole. Then gradually he separates himself from this longing also. All that is gone through in these regions coincides exactly with the course of the soul's expansion up to the region we have called the Mercury sphere. That is to say, expansion through the Moon sphere up to the Mercury sphere. When, however, it approaches the Mercury sphere, it comes to what is described in my book Theosophy as a more spiritual region of the soul world. Read once more the description of the soul world and of the passage of the soul through that world. You will then see from the peculiar experiences it undergoes that what is usually called the uncomfortable part of Kamaloka ceases in the region of soul light. Now, this region of soul light coincides with the Mercury sphere, and you may apply all that has been said regarding the Mercury sphere to what is described in Theosophy as the region of soul light. If you compare impartially what was said about the life of the soul when it has expanded as far as to the Mercury sphere with what is contained in Theosophy about the region of soul light, you will see that we have tried to describe this matter first from the inner soul conditions and again from the great macrocosmic conditions through which the soul passes when it has had those inward experiences. If you then go on further and read in Theosophy what is said about the active soul force, in quotes, you will understand that through the soul's inward experiences in this region must come to pass what we have described in these lectures as peculiar to the passage through the Venus sphere. We explained in connection with this that the soul must have developed religious impulses in a certain way in earthly life in order that it may pass through this Venus sphere correctly, in order that it may not be obliged to lead a solitary life there, but a sociable one. It must be filled with certain religious ideas. If you compare what was said on this subject with the description of the region of active soul force given in Theosophy, you will find that they agree, that these conditions have been described at one time from within and at another from without. The soul lives in the highest, the most psychic region of the soul world, when it passes through the region of the sun. Hence it may be said that the true sphere of Kamaloka extends somewhat beyond the moon sphere, then begin the more luminous regions of the soul world, which extend as far as to the sun. What the soul experiences on the sun is preeminently the region of soul life. The characteristic feature in life after death is psychic experience up to the time when the soul passes through the sun region. We know that in this region the soul becomes intimately acquainted with the spirit light, he who upon earth has become its tempter and corrupter, namely Lucifer. We also know that as in the course of its expansion the soul goes forth into space, it gradually approaches those forces which enable it to develop what it needs for its next earthly embodiment. Only when the soul has passed through the sun region and experienced life on the sun has it finished with its last earthly incarnation. As far as to the region of, quote, inclination and disinclination, close quote, that is to the realm between the moon and Mercury, the soul has still an inward longing for its last earthly life. In the regions of Mercury, Venus, and also the Sun, the soul is not yet completely free from its last earthly incarnation. But it has to come to terms with itself as regards that which goes beyond merely personal experience. In the Mercury region, it has to settle with the moral ideas it has or has not acquired. In the Venus region, with the religious conceptions it has acquired. And in the sun region, with the understanding of what is common to all humanity, with that which is not confined to any one creed, but which corresponds to a religious life suited to the whole of humanity. Thus, in the period up to its entrance into the sun region, the soul has to come to terms with those higher interests which will be further developed in the future evolution of humanity. It then enters upon cosmic spiritual life. It adapts itself to the Mars region. This region coincides with what is described in Theosophy as the first part of the spirit land. In this book, I describe how the human soul is so far spiritualized that it now sees from within, and as something outside it, the archetype of the physical body and physical conditions on the earth in general. The archetypes of all that constitutes the physical life of the earth appears as a kind of continental region of the spirit land. In this region are sketched the outward forms of man's various incarnations. This speaking cosmically is a description of what man has to experience in the Mars region. It may seem curious that we have to seek the first region of the true spirit land in the Mars region, which has been repeatedly described in these lectures as a region of war and as a source of aggressive impulses, yet this was the case up to the beginning of the 17th century. All that belongs to the actual material substance of the earth, all that causes the mineral kingdom to appear as mineral, rests upon the fact that forces on earth are engaged in a continual war. When materialism was in its prime, and material life was considered the only thing on the earth, this led to the idea that conflict, the, quote, struggle for existence, close quote, was looked upon as the only law of earthly life. Naturally, that is a mistake, because it is not material existence alone that develops on the earth. But when man enters the earth, he can only enter that existence which has its archetypes in the lowest region of what, for the earth, is spirit land. Read the description of this lowest region of the spirit land given in my Theosophy. Allow me to quote from this chapter, in order that you may see what may really be said when our past studies are borne in mind. You will remember that the beginning of the description of the spirit land runs as follows. Quote, "The building up of the formation of the spirit in the spirit land comes about through man living into the various regions of this land." Close quote. Thus, from what has been given in these lectures, we may say that from the Mars region, man begins to live further into spiritual conditions. Further, quote, "His own life fuses with these regions, one after another. For a time he takes on their qualities. They, thereby, permeate his being with theirs, so that the former, strengthened by the latter, may be able to work on earth. In the first region of the spirit land, man is surrounded by the spiritual archetypes of things on the earth. During earthly life, he only knew the shadows of these archetypes, which he comprehended in thought. In this region, he experiences what on earth is merely thought. Man moves among thoughts, but these thoughts are real beings." And I believe this is a continuation of the quote. "Our own incarnations here fuse into a unity with the rest of the world. We here look on the archetypes of physical bodily reality as a unity to which we ourselves belong. By observation, therefore, we learn our relationship to, our oneness with, the surrounding world. We learn to say to it, 'Thou thyself art that which here surrounds thee.' This is one of the main thoughts of the ancient Indian Vedantic wisdom. The sage acquires during earthly life what another experiences after death, namely, the thought that he is related to all things, the thought that is thyself. In earthly life, this is an ideal to which the life of thought may be devoted. In the land of spirits, it is a direct fact, which becomes clearer to us through spiritual experience. In this land, man himself becomes more and more conscious that in his own real being he belongs to the spirit world. He perceives himself as spirit among spirits, as a part of the original spirit, and regarding himself he feels, 'I am the original spirit.' The Vedantic wisdom says, 'I am Brahman,' that is, I, as a part, belong to the original being from which all beings originate." Close quote. The above quotation you will find in my Theosophy. Thus, you see, that when man enters upon the Mars region in the course of his life between death and rebirth, he learns the full significance of the statements Thou art that, Tat Tvam Asi, and I am Brahman. And when, here upon earth, there sounds within or outside the soul the statement I am Brahman, or the other statement Tat Tvam Asi, Thou art that, it is a reflection on earth of what resounds in the soul as a self-evident experience in the Mars region, the lowest region of the spirit land. If we inquire, quote, from whence did the ancient Indian wisdom obtain that consciousness which led to the profoundly important statements Tat Tvam Asi, Thou art that, I am Brahman, we find that those teachers of ancient India are beings appertaining to the Mars region who were transferred to Earth. And in addition to what was said years ago in Theosophy about the Mars region, we now learn what has been given out in these lectures, namely that at the dawn of modern times, Buddha was transferred to this same region, the Mars region of the Earth. 600 years before Christ, he came to Earth, to the country where the Mars wisdom had been given out in ancient times, and prepared the Earth spiritually for the mystery of Golgotha. After the mystery of Golgotha, he was sent, as we know, by the founder of the Rosicrucian movement, to the Mars region, that he might work there. It happened that in ancient times Brahmanism was at home in the Mars region of the cosmos. Then, at the commencement of the 17th century, after the mystery of Golgotha, this Brahmanism passed over into the Buddha impulse. The transition from Brahmanism to Buddhism in the culture of India was a reflection of this cosmic process. Thus we see that what takes place on the earth is, in a wide and sublime sense, an image of what goes on in heavenly regions. If you read again the chapter in Theosophy on what you now know is the Mars region, and in respect of which it has been pointed out that the soul has a self-evident experience there of the, quote, I am Brahman, close quote, you will be able to understand how a development is occurring in that region of the cosmos, how this event can be understood in a certain way, and how the Buddha impulse is related cosmically to the event described in this particular chapter of Theosophy. Our studies during this winter are thus joined up with what was given at the commencement of our anthroposophical work more than 10 years ago. We then described the spirit land for the first time, and spoke of a continental region of the spirit land. We gave the characteristics of this lowest region of the spirit land from the point of view of the inner life of the soul. Even then this description was such that if you had understood it, you would have found it only natural that the Buddha impulse should be implanted in the lowest region of the spirit land, as has been described in these lectures. We have here an example of how the various details of spiritual research fit together. If we were to present cosmically the second region of the spirit land, that formerly described from the inner or soul point of view as the oceanic region of the spirit land, we would have to connect it with the Jupiter region. Then the third region of the spirit land, the airy region, coincides with Saturnian activity, with the Saturn region. What was described as the fourth region of the spirit land goes beyond our planetary system. The soul extends there into distant space, into the far distant starry heavens, and from the description which was then given, from the inner standpoint of the soul, you will perceive that the characteristics of the soul's experience in the fourth region of the spirit land are such as cannot be experienced in any realm that is in a cosmic space relationship to the earth, such as is the whole of our planetary system. Something is brought in from the fourth region of the spirit land, which is so intrinsically foreign that we cannot reconcile it with anything that can be experienced in even the last of the planetary spheres, the Saturn sphere. The soul then lives on, further and further away from the earth and the sun. It goes into the firmament. This is described in connection with the highest three parts of the spirit land, which the soul passes through before it begins to contract again and return through all these conditions in a different way. For on this return journey it acquires forces by which it can construct for itself a new earthly life. In general, we may say that when the soul has passed through the sun region, it is finished with all that can be experienced in a certain way in connection with the, quotes, in quotes, personality of man. What is experienced beyond the sun region, beyond the region of soul life proper, is, in quotes, spiritual, is something that goes beyond anything personal. What the soul then experiences as the thou art that, and especially what it experiences in our age on Mars as the Buddha impulse, is something which seems curious here on Earth, but which does not seem so on Mars. The impulse denoted by the word nirvana, that is, liberation from all that receives its importance from the Earth, the approach toward the great cosmic importance of space, all this the soul lives through in such a way that it liberates itself from personality. In the Mars region, the lowest of the spirit land, where the soul arrives at understanding the thou art that, or in our age at receiving the Buddha impulse, it liberates itself from its connection with everything of an earthly nature. After it has liberated itself from this physically, and the Christ impulse has to assist it to do this, it liberates itself also from it spiritually, by recognizing the earthly nature of the ties of blood which can be formed on earth. The soul then passes on to fresh conditions. In the Jupiter region, the conditions which attract the soul to a particular creed are dissolved. We know that it is only through these that the soul can pass through the Venus region as a sociable being. It would be lonely there if it had no religion whatever. We have also said that it can only go through the sun region properly when it appreciates all creeds. In the Jupiter region, the soul first liberates itself from the confession to which it belonged in its last incarnation. This is not something to which it belonged personally, but something into which it was born, something it had in common with other souls. Whereas it can only go through the Venus sphere when it has acquired some sort of religious ideas during earthly life, and whereas it can only go through the sun region when it has appreciative understanding of all the religions on earth, it can only pass through the Jupiter region when it is able to detach itself from the faith it had during life, with not only the mere understanding of the others. For when the soul passes through the Jupiter region, it is decided whether it will have to go once more to the same religious faith, or whether it has experienced all that may be experienced in that particular faith. On Venus, the soul gathers in the fruits of one faith. On the sun, it reaps the fruit of the understanding of all religious life. But when it reaches the Jupiter region, it must be in the position to found for itself a fresh religious relationship for its next life on earth. These are the three stages which the soul experiences between death and rebirth. First, it experiences psychically the fruit of the faith to which it belonged in its last life. Then it receives the fruit of its valuation of all other religious confessions. Then it detaches itself so far from its last confession that it can really pass on to another. For one cannot pass on to a different creed by considering all creeds to be equal. We know that the soul, on its return journey through these regions, comes once more into the Jupiter region, and there prepares the foundations it needs in order to live in a different faith in its next life. In this way, forces are imprinted in the soul which are necessary to the construction of a fresh life. Now, if you read what is said in Theosophy regarding the third region of the spirit land, the airy region, you will find it corresponds with what was said in these lectures when describing the Saturn region. In this region, only those souls will be able to be sociable, not obliged to live in terrible loneliness, which are able really to exercise a certain degree of self-knowledge, impartial self-knowledge. Only by being able to exercise self-knowledge can one enter those regions which go beyond the Saturn region, and also beyond our solar system, into that cosmic life from which souls must ever obtain what really brings about earthly progress. For if souls were never to live as sociable natures out beyond the life on Saturn, the earth would never make any progress. Take, for example, the souls now sitting here in this room. If the souls now incarnated in the world had never gone beyond the Saturn region between death and rebirth, civilization on earth would still be the same as it was, for example, in the ancient Indian age. The civilization of ancient India could only progress to that of ancient Persia through souls having in the meantime passed beyond the Saturn region and progress from the Persian civilization to the Egypto-Chaldaic civilization was again brought about through the progressive impulse being brought in from the regions beyond the Saturn sphere. All that human beings have contributed toward the progress of earthly culture has been brought down by souls from the sphere beyond the Saturn realm. This has caused changes from time to time within the several ages of civilization and fresh impulses of civilization to appear. Along this we have a stream of inward experience, which must be distinguished from progress in outward culture, and which has its earthly center of gravity in the mystery of Golgotha. When we know that the stream of inward experience in the soul life of man has its center of gravity in the mystery of Golgotha, and when, on the other hand, we connect this mystery of Golgotha with the sun region, a certain question arises which might occupy us for long, but which we will now only notice briefly. For it is good that you should face such questions, and on the basis of what you may find in courses of lectures already given, form your own thoughts, which may then be corrected by the results of investigation, which will be announced later. We have, on the one hand, the fact that Christ is the Sun Spirit, who united himself with earthly life through the mystery of Golgotha. On the other hand, we have the fact that all outward progress on the earth, all progress made throughout the several ages of civilization, has to be brought from beyond the Saturn region. A question, therefore, arises as to how these two facts can be made to agree. The force which actually brings about the progress made on earth from age to age is connected with a world beyond the Saturn sphere, a world which is entirely different from one where progress is effected by a spiritual stream passing through human evolution, and which approached humanity in ancient times, found its center of gravity in the mystery of Golgotha, and then continued its course in the way we have often described. How do these two things agree? These two things agree perfectly. Remember that the whole evolution of the earth, as we see it today, was preceded by the former embodiment of the earth, that of the ancient moon. Now, picture the ancient moon period, as we have often described it, and following it, that of the present earth. Evolution from the ancient moon period to the present earth period took place in such a way that between the two there was something like a kind of world sleep. During it, all that existed on the ancient moon passed into a kind of germinal condition. From this proceeded later what now exists on the earth, and with the earth all the various other planetary spheres also arose after the world sleep. During the ancient moon period, the planetary spheres were not as they are now. Take the ancient moon. This passed into world sleep. Then came forth from it the planetary spheres in the form in which they are found at present. Hence we may go as far as to the Saturn sphere, and there we find only that which has been formed in the cosmos between the ancient moon period and the earth period. If we now consider the Christ impulse, we find that it does not belong to what has been formed in the cosmos during this period, but that it belongs to the ancient sun, and has come over from the ancient sun, with which it remained after the ancient moon separated from it. This impulse went on developing to earth, but remained united with the sun after the spheres of Saturn, Jupiter, etc. had separated from the sun. Therefore, in addition to what the soul contained before the mystery of Golgotha, it now has within it something more than all that is contained in the planetary spheres, something which is founded deep down in the universe, which does indeed descend directly from sun to earth, but which belongs spiritually to much profounder regions than those we recognize as the planetary spheres. The planetary spheres are a result of what has arisen out of the evolution from ancient moon to earth, but that which comes to us from the Christ impulse comes over from the ancient sun, which preceded the ancient moon. From this we see that although the external advancing course of civilization on earth is, it is true, connected with the cosmos, our inner life is in a much deeper sense connected with the life of the sun. In the whole of this connection, we have before us something spiritual, regarding which we may say, when we look up to the stars, we see them as worlds in space, which, through the human souls which go forth into these star worlds between death and rebirth, reappear in human civilization. But when we look up to the sun, we see in it a realm which has become what it now is through having undergone a development through long periods of time. Even at a time when there was no such relationship between earthly civilization and the starry worlds as now exists, in far-off primeval times, when one could not speak yet of any connection between it and the earth, the life of the sun was, in a sense, one with the Christ impulse. Thus, all that is brought down from the planetary worlds for the civilization of the earth must be regarded as a kind of earth body which has to be ensouled, and which was ensouled by that which evolved as the sun, and then turned its activities toward the earth, namely the Christ impulse. The earth became ensouled when the mystery of Golgotha took place. Earthly civilization then received its soul. The death upon Golgotha is only apparently death. In reality, it is the birth of the earth's soul. And all that is brought down from space, from beyond the Saturn sphere, is also related to the earth sphere, as the earth body is related to the earth soul. These are observations which may show that the presentation of the subject given in my book Theosophy contains, but in somewhat different words and from a different point of view, what has been described from the cosmic standpoint in this winter's lectures. You need only remember that the description is given first from the standpoint of the soul, and then from that of the great cosmic conditions. And you will find that these two descriptions agree perfectly. They run parallel with each other. The conclusion I should like to be drawn from these lectures is the stupendous width of the field of spiritual science, and that its method must be to gather from many different sides that which can render the spiritual world more comprehensible. Even though it may be some years before anything is added to what was given out years ago, these things need not, on that account, contradict each other, for they are not philosophical systems, or the result of human reflection, but they originate from occult investigation. Yellow today will still be yellow 10 years hence, even though the essential nature of yellow may only be understood in 10 years' time. In the same way, what was said there in former years holds good in years to come, when it may be possible to throw fresh light upon it from different points of view, through what we are then able to add. That is the end of Lecture 10, the end of the lecture cycle, Life Between Death and Rebirth, in relation to cosmic facts, a course of 10 lectures by Rudolf Steiner given in Berlin 1912 to 1913. You have been listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com.